Morning, birds. Hey. Wow, I looked outside. You know what's going on, birds? You're nesting. I know, we invited you to come over, and you have a bunch of birds, a big bird colony. Which is funny, because I didn't put any bird seed out. Maybe you guys are still thinking about that exciting fruit and nut bell that we had a few months ago. I don't know. I didn't put any water out, but I guess things are just taking care of themselves, huh? All right. Well, I guess my job is done. You think? Except for this button here.
Sunrise, sunrise, looks like morning in your eyes, but the clock's held 9:15 for hours. Sunrise, sunrise, couldn't tempt us if it tried, 'cause the afternoon's already come and gone. And I said, who? Something I could hide when I see we've made it through another day. Then I say, who?
Sun is up. Nora Jones on a Monday. And you're up too, and we're all up here, and it's 5 after the hour, and it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago on Bleat.network. Nice day in Chicago. It's a little chilly. It's 36 this morning. Our high today, and it'll snow tomorrow. But wait, that's tomorrow. I got up this morning. I was reflecting on so many Mondays and so many Sundays that I've spent over the last God only knows how many years reading the Sunday papers and looking at the Sunday morning news shows. And it hit me over the weekend. We're done. We're done with Trump. We really are. Honest to God. It hit me. I was in denial. But I think we're about done here. President-elect Biden. How nice that sounds to roll off my tongue. President-elect Biden is expected to announce his cabinet this week. We're going to hit the Secretary of State in a second. A vaccine being developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford is in the news. Now we had no vaccine, now we have a bunch. A federal judge dismissing Trump's lawsuit challenging, this is so laughable, I'm sorry, mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. The president's legal team is appealing that decision. He requested a recount in Georgia. That'd be the third time that they count the stuff down there. China is testing millions after coronavirus flare-ups in three cities. And global stocks are rising on more good news on the vaccine front. So here we go. Daily Washington, Antony J. Blinken, that's not Anthony, A-N-T-O-N-Y, Antony J. Blinken, B-L-I-N-K-E-L. It's like winking, blinking, and nod. Hopefully we just get blinking, not winking, and nod. A defender of global alliances, says the New York Times, and President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s closest foreign policy advisor is expected to be nominated for Secretary of State. It's a job in which he's going to try to coalesce skeptical international partners, I should say so, into a new competition with China, according to people close to the process. Mr. Blinken, B-L-I-N-K-E-N. Mr. Blinken, you know what? If we don't get these names right out of the box, I never get them right after that. Mr. Blinken is 58. He's a former Deputy Secretary of State under Obama. Began his career at the State Department during the Clinton administration. He's got extensive foreign policy credentials, and he's expected to help calm American diplomats and global leaders alike. After 4 years of Trump, I'm reading the line here, ricocheting and swaggering. Mr. Biden is also expected to name another close aide. This guy's name is Jake Sullivan, as National Security Advisor. According to a person familiar with the process, Sullivan is 43. He succeeded Mr. Blinken as Vice President Biden's National Security Advisor. So all these folks have a fair amount of State Department experience here. Together, Blinken and Sullivan, good friends with a common worldview. Doesn't that sound nice? It does. They're having coffee. They're straightening out the Chinese. Good friends with a common worldview have become Mr. Biden's brain trust and often his voice on foreign policy matters. So that's going on. And yes, he is still president-elect, despite the best efforts of President Orange Hair. Concerned that President Trump's refusal to accept the election results is hurting the economy. It's about time here. More than 100 chief executives plan to ask the administration today to immediately acknowledge Joseph R. Biden Jr. as the winner and to begin the transition to a new administration. As a way of gaining leverage over the GOP, some of the executives have also discussed, this is good, man, turn it up here, have also discussed withholding campaign donations from the two Republican Senate candidates in Georgia unless party leaders agree to push for a presidential transition. That might get the attention. In a letter that they plan to send Monday, today, business leaders will demand that Emily W. Murphy, who we tried, you heard me on the air, we tried to get this woman on the phone at the General Services Administration. There's a letter going out to her today asking her to issue a letter of ascertainment. That's what we need, a letter of ascertainment affirming that Mr. Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris have won. Ms. Murphy has so far resisted calls, including mine, to begin the normal transition planning, which includes providing resources and money to an incoming administration as it prepares to take control. Anyway, so you've got that going on. And then finally, down at the bottom of the list here, yes, we still won. Most Republicans in Congress have been reluctant to suggest that President Trump concede the election to Democrat Joe Biden. They argue that it's best to let Trump expend his legal options before, I almost said a word that begins with chicken and ends with four other letters, the Republicans. That pressure has been building, and they're about to wink now. Key states are certifying the vote totals, making these results official. Michigan and Pennsylvania are going to do so today. They will certify. Nevada will tomorrow. Arizona and Wisconsin have certification deadlines next week. Biden is ahead by more than 155,000 votes in Michigan, 81,000 in Pennsylvania, 33,000 in Nevada. And this will cap it here. In Pennsylvania, the retiring Republican senator, when these guys retire, then you get the truth. Retiring Republican Senator Pat Toomey said Trump should accept the result. Said he, quote, President Trump has exhausted all plausible legal options to challenge the result of the presidential race in Pennsylvania, said Toomey. And a lot of ones that weren't very plausible. 12 after the hour. And then the story that is at top of the newscast for many people. And I guess there's a reason for that, but let me just annotate it a little bit. A COVID-19 vaccine developed by the University of Oxford and AstraZeneca prevented a majority of people from getting the disease in a large trial. That's another promising development in the quest to end the pandemic. The vaccine stopped an average of 70% of participants from falling ill. An early analysis of the data show the effectiveness rose to 90% for one of two regimens using half a dose followed by a full one later. And I'm going to stop there with these numbers. You know, I talked to Dr. Paul last week, and one thing that he made a point of is that you've got to be able to replicate these studies. So here it says the Astra and Oxford people said they're preparing to submit the findings to regulators and don't expect the different outcomes in the study to affect the process. So anyway, we're going to become experts on yet another thing. You woke up 6 months ago and said, I don't know anything about vaccines. Well, we will. And I'll tell you something else. Today is Miley Cyrus's birthday.
I'm born to run, I don't belong to anyone. Oh no.
Ooh, Miley Cyrus. When's the last time you heard me play Miley Cyrus on the radio? I'll give you a second to think. I can't remember doing that. Why not? Today she is 28. Mike, 28. She was 6 years old last week. Wait a minute. Miley Cyrus is 28. Born in Franklin, Tennessee. She's an American singer, songwriter, they tell me, an actress and a record producer. Her personal life, her public image, and her performances often sparked controversy. I'm just quoting here. It's Papa John's birthday today. Talk about controversy. The computer shut down as we were trying to download the story of Papa John. That's as bad as it got there. I tell you what, though, we've got some very, very, very good news. You don't want to live on Earth anymore? You say you don't want to live on Earth anymore? No problem. No problem. We'll just go somewhere else. This is a cheesy show, but a great theme song, Lost in Space. In fact, we're not lost in space, though. We actually have found space, and Aaron the Science Baron joins us this morning. Aaron, hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Good. I just realized that the better a theme song is, the worse the show is. So, anyway. All right, we have a real authentic story here. This broke over the weekend, and you and I both saw it. I don't know anything about it. We're actually going to talk about Mars today, and take it. What's up? What's the latest?
Yeah, so another development in this drip of history happening here. Evidence of what scientists are coining a, quote, raging mega flood has been found to have happened about 4 billion years ago, likely caused by a meteor impact on Mars.
A raging mega flood.
Yes. Wow. Water is about as high as 80 feet, 32 feet across. Raising about, going at 32 feet a second, basically.
Wow. And this is caused by an asteroid hitting it?
Yes, a meteor impact, yes.
Wow. So it left this big crater. And then where that, but hang on, Mr. Science. Where'd that water come from?
So it's assumed that it came maybe from the asteroid because so much heat is generated with a meteor impact. It could have instantly de-thawed all of that water, and it came from that meteor impact, or it came from a pre-existing body of water, as we spoke about earlier, that existed under the water or under the ground from when that meteor impacted.
This is so interesting, and I'm not sure why are we suddenly. What's your theory on why we're suddenly getting all this new information about Mars, which admittedly has been around for a long time, longer than Miley Cyrus. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, we're ramping up for an American mission to Mars. The first mission for Mars is planned. It's on the docket for 2024, I believe. So I think we're doing extra, panning around to see what's happening, or different surface features that we're now starting to find. With these, this raging megaflood, we just found this because we identified these things called anti-dunes, which basically are like sand dunes, but that are produced by moving bodies of water.
They're anti-dunes?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
A-N-T-I-D-U-N-E-S.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. They're not really dunes.
So if you were to think about, I think about it this way. When you go to the beach, yeah, and you're walking in the shallow water, you can feel the ripples in the sand itself.
Yeah.
And then the further out you get, the more spaced out those ripples get.
Right.
Basically, that's how they can figure out how fast this water was moving and how much water there were.
Wow.
By saying how high are these dunes, how far are they spaced out, and they can calculate how fast moving water and how much created that.
And now, they're not to be an idiot here, but they're not obviously walking out on the thing. They must be seeing this, right, in some, is that photographically or?
Right.
Yeah.
So they have the Curiosity rover that is on Mars now. They have the Perseverance that's going to get there around 2021. But the Curiosity rover took images of 30-foot-high dunes spread about 450 feet apart. And they see these dunes, they see these, they're, features that we find a lot here on Earth. And given it looks like there was a river that was created with this as well. So given all that information, they kind of could figure out what was going on.
I must have looked at that footage. I'm sure you did, right? Did we all?
Yes.
but I forgot it or something. Well, you know, I thought it was a movie. That's it. I thought it was another. I thought it was an episode of Lost in Space when that came over there. It's 22 after the hour. This is Aaron, the Science Baron, as we do all these things. So listen, at the risk of making this sound like a bit, I'm serious. Talk about living on Mars. What do we make of that? Can you picture that? I mean, last week you and I were talking about these science fiction things, and life in outer space. But what does that entail?
Well, that's a very layered question because so many variables go into that. When it comes to actually civilization being formed on Mars, it would start off usually, typically, or as it seems now, with the U.S. government and SpaceX. And SpaceX, as of now, was saying that when they're doing their, you know, Martian activities, you know, is a quote, disputes will be settled through self-governing principles established in good faith at the time of Martian settlement.
Who said that?
Elon Musk.
Oh, okay, right, okay. All right.
So what we're looking at is we'll see when these corporations get there, how they distribute resources, how they determine what sections of land they take and use for private industry to send materials back, or how much they use for industrialization. So it's really, we're putting a lot of faith in the very few hands in terms of how this is going to start out. But I think as this progresses, it'll get, you know, the free economy kicks in, hopefully. Huh. And we'll see.
Yeah, I'm picturing the land, the global land grab that was European exploration. Where people show the French, no, we are here first, and then the Germans, no, you know, but I mean, we never had to deal with that in a way. In space, it's going to be a little different.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah, and SpaceX has such a head start as well.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's one thing to build a big enough boat to travel somewhere,
right,
but to build the spacecraft and to have the capability of multi-use, like, it's huge that they can send a spaceship to Mars and land it back on Earth.
I know.
And then use it again.
I know.
So I think Elon Musk would do well, but it's really up in the air.
You know, last week you and I were talking about the first American space flight, which was 15 minutes, Alan Shepard, who went, I don't even think he broke the atmosphere. He just went up and came back down. So that was, I mean, we got used to that. I'm again identifying my age here. We got used to the idea of disposable spacecraft. We didn't, you don't reuse that. You just, you blow it out there. So when that concept of we got to get them back again, that was, and that was really what the Apollo program was about. So now here we are with getting the stuff back. So I'm picturing, I can't get Elon Musk out of my mind, man.
Same.
He's like directing traffic. He's like blowing a whistle. All right, listen. But I think you and I need to commit. Let's make a blood oath here that we'll get Elon Musk on the air. He may.
It's happening.
And we'll ask. We'll have. We'll make sure that there's a straitjacket, you know, standing by. Casey needs to be restrained there. All right. I think we're doing good here. And we got a new Secretary of State. And we won the election again.
For the third time.
For the third time. But hang on. It could go four or five times this week. All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Have the best day you can.
Right, you as well. You as well. Thanks.
Be well, man.
Look in your eyes. You're Let me know if the love is really real.
But it seems to me that I'm wrapped up in love. Don't you know that I'm still
Al Green. Hard to be smoother than Al. It's 29 after the hour. It's Monday morning. It is the 23rd of November on Pandemic Pirate Radio here. And this is Thanksgiving week. An odd one. I know. A year from today, it's just going to be different. It just is. I don't know what you're going to do this week. I'm not even sure what I'm going to do this week. I remember one year we cooked dinner for 25 people in this building, and this week I think it's going to be me and Mr. Banquet on the TV dinner. We'll see about that. Anyway, we're gonna make it happen. I hope that everybody is going to do the best that they can and see the people that they can, and we'll do what we can to entertain and or enlighten. You know, in previous years, we have called up the Butterball Turkey Hotline. I don't know if they're still in existence. We used to have a lot of fun with that. Butterball, of course, makes the turkeys, and they have a staff of people who answer the phone with these last-minute emergency questions. I guess Thanksgiving, you know, when I think about it, it's like if you don't go to, if you don't follow any sporting event, you're aware of the Super Bowl or the World Series. If you don't cook at all, you make an attempt at Thanksgiving. And that's the idea of the Butterball Turkey Hotline. So I remember one year I spoke to them. This woman, I really think she was telling me the truth. Her dog, her pet chihuahua, leapt past her as she was putting the turkey in the oven. The dog, the chihuahua, ran and got stuck in the turkey. This was the Butterball Hotline person telling me this story. So, it couldn't be worse than that. So, we'll get into that. Maybe this week. You know what I was thinking? Maybe we'll start talking about kind of a history of breakfast. Is that on your radar at all? I was looking this up the other day. You know, breakfast in the United States, like cereals, for example. We have a lot of cereals in the pantry. The breakfast cereal, that's a relatively new thing. There was a Kellogg. There was a Post. And we didn't start eating, Rice Krispies until recently. And then you look at other cultures and what they have for breakfast. And I just thought that was pretty interesting. So we want to take care of ourselves. and we want to make sure that we're healthy and happy. So, and then and one more hit on breakfast, and well, maybe yeah, I guess donuts are breakfast, aren't they? I thought this was good with the holidays approaching. Let's do something appropriate behind me. You want to do a, here we go, let's have a little music. There we go. With the holidays approaching and most restaurants closed in indoor dining, Channel 7, they have the Hungry Hound, saw bakeries that seem to be opening at a frantic pace. He visited two new spots in the city where creative pastry chefs are leading the way. Chef Stephanie Izard and her staff had a lot of great ideas that didn't have an outlet, so they converted part of the Little Goat Diner in the West Loop, the Little Goat Diner, into Sugar Goat, an escapist funhouse of flavors and creative combinations. Oh yeah, all right, you can get cookies there, you can get chocolate chip and oatmeal and stuff like that, but you can also find Cheez-It cupcakes topped with chocolate peanut butter covered Cheez-Its and cheddar caramel whipped cream. Oh my goodness. Avocado toast versions have sourdough cakes with tomato caramel cream. Avocado buttercream sourdough crackers. I can't even imagine how these things taste, but how about it? This is a pie that tastes like you took a French fry and dipped it into a Frosty. Just sort of, do you ever do that? Just sort of craveable flavor combination. It's crunchy, it's salty, it's sweet. Now, about a mile west of that, there is a small bakery, the Metric Coffee Roaster. The colorful assortment of yeast and cake donuts, the fun pastries. It's a collaboration between Erica Chan and Seeger Bayer. Both of them are from the Publican. I remember going in there once or twice. They said for us, the kind of offering, something that mimics the quality that they sell with Metric Coffee, Fruit Loop Donuts. They feature Fruit Loop Donuts, yes, with a citrus glaze, pumpkin Thai tea croissant, and vegan Earl Grey morning buns. It's almost like you took like a newspaper article with the had a recipe, and then you just cut everything apart. I'm gonna go and check to them. That's the new breakfast here on Pandemic Pirate Radio. The Fruit Loop Donut.
Yeah.
Marley. 20 before the hour. On Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago, from Bleat.network on a Monday morning here. You know, I was just thinking about this whole Thanksgiving thing. Let me see if I'm going to open up the mic. Is there a live mic? Let me see if I got an airplane going across the sky here. Got anything? We got birds out there. We got any airplanes? My friend and I, we play a game whenever an airplane goes across, because we live here pretty much in the final approach to O'Hare. And whenever an airplane goes across the sky, one of us says to the other, where? And we have to guess where we would like to go. We get to pick a place. So it's our vicarious, where are we going to go today? Every time an airplane comes by. And it hit me that that is only an imaginary game for a little while now. We're actually going to be able to go places. So, yeah. I bring that up. I think that this is going to be a Thanksgiving in which people can say, well, not this year, but we'll go next year. So, yeah. I like that whole idea. Speaking of going places, ever been to New Zealand? No. Really? New Zealand? New Zealand? What do you think? I did a flashback where I was on a different radio station. The boss came in and said, what the hell is that? You're fired. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the national anthem of New Zealand, which is called God Defend New Zealand. I thought I'd play that today. Well, I didn't want to play it tomorrow. For one thing, I'm talking over the national anthem of New Zealand. I didn't want to offend any New Zealanders. Tomorrow we have an adventure. We're going to go to New Zealand. Talk to someone about New Zealand culture and news and stuff. And I think that will be one of the things that we're going to try to do with the show here. As we get through the end of the pandemic, how about we're half done? You're okay? Half done? All right. We're going to talk about places to go, and we'll have some vicarious visits, and then eventually we'll go there. So anyway, tomorrow we're going to talk to New Zealand. And it got me thinking also that I think we will, I know this sounds like an awful idea. I think we will look at some national anthems. I will do some excerpts. Some of them, I know everybody knows ours. The Canadian national anthem is very compelling. The Russian national anthem is pretty snappy. So we'll do something about this. It occurred to me this morning when I was thinking about that. Every country has one, and that might be an interesting thing to do. So we're no longer sitting by ourselves in a closet and nobody talks to us around the world. I think we will become global citizens again. So yeah. You want to come on? Just another clip. Do you mind? Just another quick moment. And we will. And then we'll segue to the Beach Boys. You ready?
Stay.
Boys, at 14 before the hour on Monday morning, it's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show, where we hopefully get each other ready to face the day. And what does that entail? Well, I think part of it is we have to get up in the morning and have something in our heads that's kind of positive. So I made a list of some things that we might be enjoying as we learn and expand here. I mentioned last week, and my producer, our producer, Sparks, grabbed this idea as well. We're gonna study the science of recording sound. I talk about Foley artists and people like that. There are people who do nothing but record. No, I don't mean like music. I mean like just sounds, and that's what they make a life out of that. So. We would call that person a sound recordist. I thought that would be fun. I think we'll, because it's radio here. I know. We're fighting the great video wave here. It's radio. We want to do things that sound, that make sounds and things. Which got me back to the idea of these national anthems. Let's do best. All right. Well, we'll come up with something. In fact, if you'd like to nominate anything, you can send me an email, radioanything@gmail.com, or toll free, it's 844-220-3300. How about best? Oh, this could get us in trouble. Best and worst national anthems. All right. Well, I don't know. I have nothing in mind. We'll just see how that would go. But then I was thinking, well, what about the history of music? What? No. I don't mean like Baroque, Rococo. I mean like back to when people were hitting sticks against rocks and bowls and ringing little crude bells and making drum beats. I want to know about that. I thought that would be interesting. I bet we could explore that. I have a couple of ideas. And we talked to some people that are. What's the word? Music historians, and there's a place that I thought I'd walk into if I can think of exactly when to do it. I bet we could get some of the primitive instruments that's in this person's building. Maybe play some of those. So anyway, my theory is that the news is whatever hasn't happened to you yet. So that's what we're gonna take up on the show here. It's 11 before the hour. We skipped Papa John's birthday today. Papa John had a birthday. I'm trying to remember exactly what he did wrong. And I know it was something. Anyway, John Schnatter, nicknamed commercially Papa John, has a birthday today. He's 59. He was over, as of 2020, his net worth was over $1 billion. Wow. All right, so. And we're going to do a thing about best pizza toppings and stuff like that. So, anyway, Papa John got into trouble. Tell you what else happened today. This is the anniversary of Mice and Men premiering in New York City. That's a play written by John Steinbeck. And that was a short book that I read all of John Steinbeck stuff when I was a kid. So, the movie, let me think if I can do this. The movie, I think, was Lon Chaney Jr. and Burgess Meredith. Let's see here. I'm not sure what we got here. Of Mice and Men. Remember this?
We ain't got any. Whatever we ain't got, that's what you want.
George? George?
What you want?
George, I was only fooling. I don't want no ketchup.
If it was here, you could have some.
George, I wouldn't need no ketchup. I'd leave it all for you, and you could cover your beans with it. I wouldn't touch none of it.
When I think of the swell time I could have without you, I go nuts. Never get any peace. If I was alone, I could live so easy. I could get a job and work and no trouble. No mess at all. And when the end of the month come, I could take my 50 bucks, I could go into town, I could get whatever I want. I could stay in a cat house all night. What do I got? I got you. You can't keep a job, lose me every job I get. Keep me shoving all over the country all the time. That ain't the worst. You get in trouble, you do bad things, and I got to get you out all the time. Crazy son of a bitch, you keep me in hot water all the time.
Don't you want I should go away and leave you alone?
Where the hell would you go?
I could go off in them hills down and find a cave.
Yeah? How'd you eat? You ain't got sense enough to find nothing to eat.
I find things. I don't need this nice food with ketchup. Lord, if you don't want me, I'll go up in them hills and get
ketchup. I
go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight. Just my way, I'll say, and I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I stop to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome.
Nancy Klein on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show at 5 before the hour here. It's Monday. We're almost through the Monday morning program here. And you know what? We missed something on Friday. I was gonna actually call it my sister. Drew Barrymore had a birthday. I think it was Friday, wasn't it? Boy, what a... there's probably a story here that relates to other people, not just me. My mother grew up in the Great Depression, and they were poverty-stricken. And her father, my grandfather, would tell them things that I think were designed to keep them uplifted. Anyway, the Barrymore family. This is for you. Got to be a little bit older than me to get all this. The Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, Ethel Barrymore, John Barrymore. If you ever see It's a Wonderful Life, that's a good one. Lionel Barrymore plays Mr. Potter. You got him? Ah, okay. All right. So, all right. Where am I going with this? All right. Anyway, my mother used to tell us that we were related to the Barrymores. And I, what are you talking about? And I read somewhere, I should, I'm always embarrassed when I should have looked something up and I didn't. I read somewhere that wasn't actually even their real name. They changed it from, you know, something else to Barrymore. But anyway, we always remember that. And I can only conclude that my grandfather was simply lying. You're not a bunch of poverty-stricken kids. You're related to the Barrymores. And that is what our conclusion was after all these years. So anyway, and Drew Barrymore, let's see here, had a birthday, and whenever we talk about Drew Barrymore and my family, I always call up my sister and I say, hey. Cousin Drew is in the news again. See, right there, we're supposed to hear Cousin Drew. Huh. Well, what the heck? She was the youngest person ever to host Saturday Night Live, was Cousin Drew. I'll find that clip. Is it still Monday? This wide cast produced by Natasha Rodriguez. We'll see you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.